gentlemen, freaks and geeks, grab your smokes and take some totes, because it's time for Fatal Four Way Radio with your host, Minister I'm Sinister, brought to you in part by WrestleCourt.com. And now,
Radio. All right, what's up? What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us. It's very great of you to do so. And I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, and welcome to Fatal Four Way Radio, December 6th, 2018. Edition. I didn't even have a good name for the show today. Raw's been really bad, and SmackDown, it's not as bad, but, you know, it could be better. Anyway, getting on to the show today, we've got a panel going on here, and with us today, as not always, but most of the times, we have headliner Joe Bates.
I'm doing okay. I'm sick. I had an endoscopy on Monday. That was cool. My throat is fine. And I'm just getting older and dying quicker, I feel like.
Oh, man, I'm on a fast pace right now, man. I am on a bullet ride straight to hell. It's horrible, but that's where I'm at. Also, let me tell you, you came in, you did very good in the Survivor Series predictions. Join us next week as we will have our predictions contest, I guess you can call it, everybody, by the way. And that will be for TLC. Headliner Joe Bates, last week, you came in second place, man. You got eight right.
Yeah, I lost the tiebreaker.
You and Batman were head-to-head all the way up until the very end. You went with Velveteen Dream, and he went with Ciampa, and that's where he took you out with nine.
Yeah, I assume we were head-to-head because we had the exact same picks except for that one thing.
You guys went all the way, man. It was tooth and nail cutting this shit, man. I was like circling, Xing. You guys got a lot of them right, man, and that's what was important. A lot of different things happened on that pay-per-view as well. Interesting things.
Yeah.
I didn't really care for it, but, what can we do about it? I've got a different studio set up.
Yeah, I thought the Daniel Bryan match was really good, and I thought the Charlotte Flair match was good. Other than that, I wasn't a big fan of it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same board with that. I've got a different studio set up this week, folks, so I might be a little late with my cues and stuff because I'm doing everything reverse, you know. Normally I do certain things with my right hand. This time I have to go ambidextrous. I have to go with the left hand, you know, but hey, sometimes you got to get a little strange every now and then. Also joining us today from Philadelphia, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Christian. Christian, how the hell are you, my friend?
Good, my brother. We have got to talk about the attendance from last Monday Raw this week, dude. It was horrendous. I remember I showed you a pic of it this week.
Yeah, you know, and we will talk about that, actually, because it ties in perfect with our first segment that we're going to talk about. If I can just get the, if I can just get my shit together, let me put it like that. So let's just jump right into it, ladies and gentlemen, with the first segment of today's Fatal Four Way Radio, and that is Raw's lowest viewership in history this week. And as you guys can, I don't know if you guys watched it. I know Joe, you watch on Hulu, but let me tell you, man, Christian and I watched the whole thing, and this week's show is down from last week's show. That averaged 2.37 million viewers. And, of course, it came in high, you know, at number four, number six, and number seven for the night on cable. the first hour, which normally had been drawing the strongest audience, drew a new low of 2.196 million viewers. And this makes it one of the least watched first hours of Raw in the show's history, in freaking modern history. So, of course, you know, we have football going on and everything. But so it was headlined by Ronda Rousey and Ember Moon versus Nia Jax and Tamina. And, of course, you know, there's been several complaints by fans, other podcasts. I took time to listen to a couple of other podcasts this week, which is a rarity for me. But I did take time. I wanted to hear what they were saying. And, man, they're downing it just like we are. It was a shit show this week. And, I mean, you know, it got what it deserved. Also, come to find out, Vince himself is partly to blame for that. It turns out it's been heavily reported that he actually rewrote the show just a few hours before the show went on live. He wanted it to have a warm feel to it since the show was emanating from Houston. And, you know, I normally go to these shows, guys, but last week's Raw was a heaping pile of garbage that I did not even bother to get tickets or to check into them. And you know what? I'm very glad that I didn't, because it would have been a complete waste of money and time. And actually, I think the time would have been. And then also, you know, with President HW's death and all, they were having a big to-do downtown that were going to celebrate his life and everything. And getting out of the downtown area would have been a freaking nightmare. And then after a terrible Raw like that, oh, man, I'm not too sure I wouldn't have killed somebody, but I digress. But anyway, it was a bad situation for Raw. And apparently McMahon was also responsible for last week's show, which he also rewrote. So this is where we're at, guys. We have two terrible episodes of Raw. It's not the end of the world, but shit, man, this is the garbage that they're giving us. Joe Bates, do you agree that Raw was complete garbage this week?
Yeah, I think everything that was going well on Raw, they just stopped doing. Like Braun Strowman, they ruined him. Well, they haven't ruined him, but they just really took all his momentum away. Again, I'm going to say, when I say ruin, I don't mean that person has no chance of ever coming back or anything. Just, they took all of Braun Strowman's momentum away. They kind of took away Elias's momentum, which was weird. They should have. It's strange what they're doing. I wonder, and I don't have the data in front of me. Have the ratings taken a dip since Roman Reigns has been gone?
They have. Interestingly enough, they have. Yeah, I mean, things have gone downhill, but it is tradition.
Yeah.
That this happens at this time, though, every year. I've been watching for many, many years.
So then that's fine. But, I mean, the Dean Ambrose thing, they're really, really doing poorly. It's not really interesting anymore to see Dean Ambrose not really have a reason why he's doing stuff and doing the whole, like, your city stinks. Like, they're basically like, hey, this worked for Elias. Let's do it without music now. And I just... The only thing I'm hoping is that I want it to keep getting worse. Because if it keeps getting worse, that's usually when WWE is at its best. When they just have to change everything at once. There'll be some interesting stuff happening. Because right now, it's like they have no direction. Bobby Lashley is unbelievably bad. Drew McIntyre is somewhat interesting, but Dolph Ziggler I don't care about. Baron Corbin, who I really liked what he was doing, I need something to happen. I don't like the Alexa Bliss running the women's division. And I don't know. I hate Nia Jax now, and I don't find her interesting. And Tamina should have nothing to do with any main event for anything ever. It's just they need to reboot it all. Cut all the storylines and restart the new stuff. Maybe the Seth Rollins and Ambrose thing you keep doing, but it's just tough. It's bad.
Well, we talked about it a little bit. Actually, we talked about it extensively for 1 hour on Monday Night Fallout, which you can go back and listen to on the World Generation Podcast Network. However, you know, we talked about putting your eggs all in one basket. And this is what happens, man. I mean, they put all their eggs into Roman Reigns. The leukemia came and got him again out of nowhere. You know, nobody was expecting that. At least the fans weren't. We didn't know about it. Most of WWE didn't even know about it either. Then they, you know, they went with Braun Strowman, who was second in line, the biggest baby face, who they should have probably put the belt on him, what, two or three pay-per-views ago, I think, that we were all clamoring to.
Yeah.
But it never happened. It never happened. And now, you know, he's out with an injury. He's still scheduled for TLC. However, we'll see if that's going to end up happening or not. But, you know, so they put all their eggs in him, and then he went down. And so now we're left with, you know, just the regulars, the mid-card, you know, being very mid-cardish in how they're handling the top stories. You've got Dean Ambrose, who is, you know, man, I'm telling you, I am very disappointed in how this storyline is being handled right now. And just very disappointed in how it's being handled. I want to see some heat. We're seeing some. It's like we're on the fringe, but we're not there yet. And we've been on the fringe for way too long, and no pun intended with the name, Dean Ambrose. I don't even think he's using that anymore. But it's like we're just there hanging out on the fringe, and it's like, when are we going to get to the meat of things? I mean, this week, to give you some match results, they gave us Sasha Banks and Bayley defeated Mickie James and Alicia Fox. The Lucha House Party defeated Scott Dawson. Dolph Ziggler defeated Drew McIntyre. Now, that was a crazy match. But still, Dolph freaking Ziggler. Drake Maverick and AOP defeated Bobby Roode and Chad Gable. And then Heath Slater rode out Rhino. But he got fired, of course. And then, of course, we had Jinder Mahal and Finn Balor, which Finn Balor won that one. And then the end was Ronda Rousey and Ember Moon versus Nia Jax and Tamina. You know, this is what we had. So we had no top stars, really. On the top star, which is Braun Strowman, is gone right now. Roman Reigns is gone.
Seth Rollins is your top star right now.
That's
interesting.
And
he's in
this program. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I remember hearing this. I hear someone's on it. Dean Ambrose described Dean Ambrose, I think, perfectly. When Dean Ambrose is in the main event picture and he's, like, got a big spot, he always lands. He always nails the landing. He does great. But when Dean Ambrose is kind of in the mid card, he's horrible. Like he just there's something about Dean Ambrose when he has to do great because it's important, he kills it. But when it's not that big a deal, he always flounders it.
Interesting. Let's get to Christian because I know he has some strong words for Dean Ambrose or about Dean Ambrose's work as of late. Maybe we can limit ourselves with the F-bombs, but which Christian is known to do. But Christian, give us your thoughts on Dean Ambrose and how he's handling his current role.
All right. First, we have to discuss the whole siren and the gas mask incident that happened on Monday Night Raw first. I just found out that one of the writers was watching the TNT channel, and they were giving the marathon of the Batman trilogy. And that's where they got the idea from. They were watching TNT. Secondly, this heel turn has been a bust because I feel like this is the same still goofy Ambrose, but with a snarkier attitude. That's all. This is it. This is as good as we're going to get out of Dean Ambrose, I'm afraid. Also, I would agree that Joe Bates, that Seth Rollins is the top guy, if it wasn't for the fact that this whole year has been booking him like a fucking chump. He's been getting beat downs, whether it's from the terrible Shield reunion or the fact that Seth Rollins always gets his ass kicked, whether he confronts Dean Ambrose. I think this is the worst booking of Seth Rollins ever I've ever seen. This is the worst booking for him. He's getting fucked over.
Man, he really is, when you think about it. But he really is their top star because he's like the one that has reached, you know, nobody else has reached the stardom that he has in WWE. Nobody that's there right now, out of all the names that I mentioned in the quick match results that I gave you guys. I'm sorry?
It does seem, though, that Monday Night Raw hinted at Finn Balor being the star, though.
Yeah, Finn Balor, man. He defeated Jinder Mahal this week.
But they put him in two matches as someone who came in and saved the day kind of thing. So
yeah,
it seems
that is true.
They want Finn Balor, Baron Corbin to kind of push Finn Balor probably Finn Balor against Lesnar, so Lesnar can beat him to set up Rollins at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's interesting. So, yeah, we've got a ways to go before WrestleMania. However, everything's going to, I think everything will start picking up again, of course, as it usually does, right around the Royal Rumble. Actually, after the Royal Rumble. I've never really been a big fan of Royal Rumble, except for the ending, because you get to know what's going to happen. But nowadays, things have changed because you've got Elimination Chamber. And so, you know, they usually change things up at Elimination Chamber. You know, whoever wins the chamber gets to do this or what have you, you know. So, and it happens to be in Houston this year. So I will be going to that. Christian?
Something's telling me Miz is winning it 2019, the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
He's going to win the 30th spot and win the Rumble from the Mixed Match Challenge.
Interesting. Well, what part is he playing at TLC? Do we know yet?
Nothing.
He doesn't have.
He's not on the pay-per-view. No.
Interesting. Well, Raw's
I'd like to see the Miz be special guest referee for the AJ Bryan match.
Man, that would be great. That would be great. And you know, they had that deal where they set up what's his face, the guy with kids.
Heath Slater.
To be these. They're setting him up to be a special guest referee with Baron Corbin versus Braun Strowman, is what the deal was on Monday night. So we're going to have one special guest referee. It makes sense that we have one also from SmackDown. I think that would be really cool, and I would like to see them do that. But yeah, Raw's lowest viewership in history. It sucked pretty bad, man. And you know, Vince needs to stop writing these shows, because he seems to be the problem here, man. I mean, he is not connecting with the audience. So if you're listening, Vince, please stop writing. Leave the shit up to the writers, man. Let's
you know,
throw the tables, ladders, and chairs.
But as bad as Vince is, the wrestlers themselves are also not stepping up. You know, when these things happen, like Becky Lynch stepped
man,
up
right.
to make herself the way she is. They wrote her poorly, and she stepped up and got over. And the wrestlers right now are not doing that.
Man,
it's like
Damian
Sandow. Damian Sandow had everything going for him, and they all wanted him, but he didn't step up when he had the chance.
Man, you are absolutely right about that. And I heard somebody, I wish I could remember who it was. I want to say it was Big Show, talking about how he doesn't like the atmosphere in the back, that everybody is too happy,
yeah.
happy, joy. And nobody really takes it serious the way they need to. I think I want to say it was Big Show that was saying that. But let's move on. Tables, ladders, and chairs. We've got the build going on for that. And frankly, I've not been sold on it yet. There's only one or two matches that I really want to. Actually, at this point, there's still only one match that I really want to see. And that's the women's TLC match. Other than that, they're having a tough time selling me this one, man. Joe, what about you? Where do you stand on TLC? I mean, think about it like this, dude. We're in the middle of the NFL season right now, and things are starting to heat up. And I don't know what game is going to be on that night, but shit, man, if it's got playoff implications, it's going to be a tough sell, man, to watch TLC.
I think tables, ladders, chairs has been sort of a disappointment over the last like 5-6 years. Or maybe even 10 years. It hasn't been a really great pay per view. They're a lot safer with their bumps now, which is good, and I'm happy for that. But when your whole pay per view is about taking crazy bumps, I just don't think it's gonna be that good. I agree there's not a lot of build up. And I just think the pay-per-view itself has not been good in a long time. And I didn't think about it, but you're right. This, like, between SummerSlam and Royal Rumble really is a horrible time for WWE. They don't have Kevin Owens right now. I guess Bray Wyatt's going to come back soon. He might get a big push because Raw sucks so much. Braun Strowman's out. Yeah, it really is kind of a... Wasn't there a year where like everybody got injured before WrestleMania and ended up screwing everything over? Like Rollins got injured, Balor was injured. Something, there's like five big injuries. I don't remember. But
man,
anyways,
I can't remember which one it would be, which year it would be.
I remember.
And I just, nothing really happened out of that. It was
2016.
And that was the year Reigns faced Triple H in the WrestleMania?
It was the year where Seth Rollins injured his leg. Yeah. It was towards 2017. Yeah, 2016.
Yeah.
It was when Seth Rollins
injured
his leg doing a powerbomb. And then Randy Orton got injured. John Cena got injured. Big Show got injured. Ryback got injured. A total of 10 wrestlers got injured the whole year.
Yeah. I went to that WrestleMania. That was not a good WrestleMania.
No.
Other than that was the year Shane McMahon jumped off the steel cage.
I went to a TLC. I want to say it was in maybe 2011, 2012, somewhere around there. It was Orton against John Cena. And I was not living here in Houston yet, but I was in town. And the only reason I went was because I was thinking, well, shit, man, how could I not go? And what if they crown Cena champion and I'm not going to be there and it's going to be history in the making and I'm going to miss it? So I said, I better go. And I remember it sucked. Pay-per-view freaking sucked.
Was that the year Alberto Del Rio faced like Christian or Edge as well?
I want to say so.
Yeah,
I was
also there. And Alberto Del Rio got pushed off a ladder out of the ring onto tables and got the ramp.
Yes, that was it.
The pay-per-view year was 2013, and Alberto Del Rio and Christian did have a match, but that was 2011 when Christian won the first
one. I know Alberto Del Rio at a tables, ladders, and chair match in Houston was on top of like a 15-foot ladder, got thrown out of the ring on the tables outside. I remember seeing that.
So
there
was two TLCs. There's been two TLCs here in Houston.
No, not really. No, never. I don't think.
It had to be 2011 because 2013 I wasn't living in Houston then.
No, you know what?
Gotcha.
I don't think 2011 was TLC. I think that was Extreme Rules.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I believe so. Let's see. I have a ticket stub here for TLC. It was 2013.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I was in town that time. I feel like that was 5 years ago.
2013. Yeah.
It was during Daniel Bryan's Yes Movement push when Daniel Bryan was doing the Yes Movement.
Yeah.
CM Punk was still around by that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't see a Punk in the Nexus teaming up or something.
This was also the time when Shawn Michaels betrayed Daniel Bryan.
So here we are, guys. It's been a terrible build-up. I mean, one of the best things happening right now, I think, I'm really digging the Samoa Joe, the way he's antagonizing who the hell?
Yeah.
Matt Hardy.
Jeff Hardy.
He is just great at that, man. And he's making fun of his DUI, whatever it was. I mean, it's just, man, he's really pushing buttons here. But the thing is, man, is that they have to do something big with him. Because if they don't, this guy's going to end up just like Bray Wyatt. And I don't want to see that. It's okay if he's never going to be world champion. I'm okay with that. But damn it, man, they need to do something with Samoa Joe. Otherwise, he's going to be the guy that loses every freaking pay-per-view. So I don't know what he has lined up for TLC right now, but hopefully it's going to be something good and special. He needs it right now.
And you know what? You know what's sad? The only person he's been in a pay-per-view is Sami Zayn. And that was 2 years ago. That was a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. That's Bray Wyatt.
It's been a while.
Bray Wyatt comparison. That's a good comparison, Bray Wyatt. I think Samoa Joe is great. I'm a little nervous that this current angle with his video with the drinks that he did.
Yeah.
I'm a little nervous as it gets to that AJ Styles and his wife, where it starts off really interesting, but gets too silly and doesn't make any sense, like him going to Wendy's house. I like Samoa on the mic in the ring being tough. And I feel like, or, you know, just being a dick. I don't like Samoa Joe cutting into the middle of the ring on the Videotron or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. I like him walking out there with a towel around his neck and being a badass tough. And that's how he belongs.
You know,
and now he's doing promos out on location. Christian.
You know what he could do? You know what he could do next week? He could go to Matt Hardy's mansion and beat the hell out of Matt Hardy while Jeff Hardy's watching in the ring.
Yeah.
Hey, that would make it
interesting. Jeff Hardy is set. Jeff Hardy is set up for a guy who can lose and be fine, though. So I'd assume Samoa Joe's going to beat Jeff Hardy because it's not like Jeff Hardy's going to be in the title picture. I don't think. I don't know. I don't think he's... You know what? Maybe Jeff Hardy versus Daniel Bryan's the next thing, but I'm kind of sick of Jeff Hardy.
I think Jeff Hardy's going to win.
At this point, I don't know what he's still doing around. I mean, he just lost again to Randy Orton this week. Every time he goes up against Orton, he's losing.
This is a tough choice because they're both losers.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. Let me take us out to commercial break, and when
I gotta check out here, all right? I'm sorry about that.
All right, Joe. Well, I certainly do appreciate you being with us, man. Be sure to come back with us next week as we're going to do our predictions for TLC. So try to join us.
Oh, yeah, I definitely will be there for that.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Joe Bates. Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Bates. And for more on Joe Bates, you can check out his website at joebatescomedy.com. And also tomorrow, his show will be on. I'm going to try to get Worst Way to Die because I've not heard that one yet, and it's featured on our commercials, so I really think I need to put that one on. Of course, he's on hiatus right now, and so we are running previous episodes that have been recorded. So having said that, let's get to commercial break right now. And we'll be right back with Fatal 4-Way Radio after these words.
Hey, you silly kids. It's me, Joe Bates, host of Rank You Very Much every Friday here on the World Generation Podcast. The show to determine things like best cereal, worst way to die, worst Full House character. There's only one stop to figure all that information out, and that's Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates every Friday with two different special guest experts on every show who have been on shows like Bob and Tom, Laughs on Fox, and Last Comic Standing. So definitely check it out. Play the theme song.
Rank You Very Much with Joe Bates.
Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on World Generation Network. Tune in to Radio Renegade with your hosts, Christian from Philly and Batman. A show where they talk about missed booking opportunities, what is scenarios, what the fuck moments, and more. That's Radio Renegade, Saturday at 8 p.m. only on the World Generation Network. Be there.
Rising from the depths of oblivion, materializing out of the ether, lost. Talk show that will ever be. Return to the World Generation Podcast Network. Stay tuned for more.
You
want to
see something really scary? You want to see something really scary? You want to see something really scary?
People everywhere are signing up to join
WrestleCorp. WrestleCorp.com.
Enlist yourself in the best wrestling news, wrestling opinion, and of course, the best wrestling commentators in the history of mankind. Grab your gear and join
WrestleCorp.
sit yourself down in the gorilla position and come join the fight to make wrestling a worldwide phenomenon. Join
WrestleCorp, WrestleCorp.com.
From bell to bell, are you ready?
Monday nights on the World Generation Podcast Network. In association with Bud's Backroom, the greatest wrestling podcast. Monday Night Fallout returns with T-Rock Plutonium, Loverboy Langloy, Minister of Sinister, and special appearances by the Wolfpack, Hollywood KV, and more. Plus the rebirth of the IWC. Stay tuned on the World Generation Podcast Network. Monday nights will never be the same again.
Listening to the World Generation Podcast Network. Please like us on Facebook at World Generation or on Twitter at World Generation Podcast. And now back to the show.
Generation Podcast Network. This is Fatal 4-Way Radio, and I am your host, Internet Radio Zone, Minister of Sinister, and of course with me I have Christian from Philly. Christian, we're halfway there today, man. We're halfway through the show already, and I think we're doing pretty good, man. We've got two more topics, actually just one, and then we'll have a free-for-all, and then we can check out. Sound good to you, brother?
That sounds fantastic, my brother. But first, I have to say something about Ronda Rousey quick before we go on the last segment.
Let's.
The World Wrestling Federation. For over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports entertainment.
Let's hear it, brother.
Ronda Rousey is definitely turning into Roman Reigns 2.0. Saying this? Well, the clues are there. One, she says the word bitch in her promo every time. She comes out smiling like Roman Reigns. She basically does the same. She no-sells just like Roman Reigns. And now, yesterday, I saw a live video of a live event where Ronda Rousey's now doing the Superman punch on Nia Jax.
This is madness. Oh,
she
God.
Did the Superman punch, Bat Minister.
God damn it. So she's Roman Reigns 2.0, man. She is Roman Reigns 2.0, and she's no selling. She's selling. I mean, she ain't selling shit, man. I mean, I don't know if they've told her to do that, but she is just not selling. Nothing. So now she's doing a Superman punch. Holy crap. So that has not been seen on TV, right? Is that what you're saying?
No, it was on a live event.
Wow. So she's doing a Superman punch. Holy crap.
On Nia Jax. Isn't that kind of disrespectful to Roman? To do that to his family member?
It really is. I mean, that can be a what the fuck moment right there.
What the fuck?
All right, man.
Let's move on, man. Yeah, let's move on, man. We got the new Daniel Bryan, and it's too bad Joe couldn't stick around for this one because I really wanted to hear his thoughts on this. But you will do just fine with this, my brother. The new Daniel Bryan, man. First of all, before we get into it, just give me your thoughts on it. Your fresh thoughts before I ask you or probe you anything about Daniel Bryan. Let me have your initial thoughts on his character. What do you think?
I think it's a fresh start. I think it's improved. I think it's a breath of fresh air. But I don't like the whole environmentalist Daniel Bryan a little bit. It's going to take some time to get used to, but I'll get used to it. I just don't like it right now.
I have to agree with you on that. I don't like it right now either.
It came out of nowhere. It just came out of nowhere.
I'm the type of guy, man. I drive a big fucking truck with shitty, real shitty gas mileage, and I do it just to piss environmentalists off. But that's just me. So I'm pretty sure I would piss him off royally by doing so. But, yeah, man, I'm really enjoying his new character. I like that face stomp that he's doing on AJ Styles. I like that he said how he wished he's been wanting to punch him in the face. And here he is, man. He is just all over AJ Styles. And I think that he needed this right now. At this point in time, I think it's the best thing for him. Finally, we have a Daniel Bryan that I can respect. And I'm digging it. I'm really digging this character right now. I don't know what his stance is on Christmas, but I know he.
Well,
I know that he didn't like to celebrate Christmas a few years ago, and his wife was all fucked up about it. But yeah, man, I'm digging the way they're doing this. I like the whole thing how he threw away the freaking the side panels on his belt the other day, the plates. I like how he did that. What are your thoughts on that and ending the Yes Movement? Do you think the Yes Movement will truly die, or will still hear it just like the what's?
Well, that's the one thing I was treading the most when he decided to take off the side plates. What if that's a hint that he's losing the title to AJ Styles right back?
Well, that could happen, and of course, with Miz, you guys already have him scheduled to win, the Royal Rumble.
Well, because
that's my point, man.
He's the only one that makes
things
sense.
Things always happen at EC.
The Miz is the only one that makes sense to win 2019. He's the only one. The fact that a few weeks ago they mentioned that whoever wins the Mixed Match Challenge gets the number 30th spot, and Miz is still in the tournament, is the only thing that makes sense for him to win the tournament and to win the Rumble. To face heel Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. It's the only way that makes
sense. I agree. He is the only one that makes sense. Nobody else makes sense to win right now except for the Miz. Everybody else is not, they're just not there. They're not good enough. They don't have it down the way he does. I mean, Daniel Bryan, yeah, he's good. But we want to see that at WrestleMania. We want to see Miz versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. But who would be champion going in? And who would come out as champion?
Well, I would say Daniel Bryan will still be champion. But I would see Miz walking out of WrestleMania as champion after he beats Daniel Bryan. Plus, they could be doing what I said.
The Miz as a babyface champion.
Yes. Plus, they could be doing what I said last week. Plus, they could be doing what I said last week on the show about Shane McMahon entering the Royal Rumble too. They could be doing everything I said.
Well, frankly, I don't see that. I can see that happening. I don't see any problem with having Shane O'Mac in the Royal Rumble. I don't know what his spot would be, but he would definitely be playing a key role by eliminating people from his own brand. So he could essentially eliminate somebody else to take him out, to take somebody out of the feud, or to put himself in a feud with somebody else at let's say he takes out AJ Styles. Then he could have a feud with, but he's already done that with AJ Styles. Didn't he have a match with AJ at WrestleMania?
Yeah, he already did that.
So who would you put in that situation? Who would be good for that?
I would, Andrade Cien Almas.
Ah, Andrade Cien Almas would be working as a baby face. Is that what you're saying?
No, I would say that he will be a heel and Shane will be the face, even though that's not what the people want, just to piss everybody off. Because, the boss, I say Shane turns heel after Mania.
Shane turns heel after Mania. He was working kind of heelish here recently, and now I think that's been put to a complete halt, it seems.
I see him
eliminating CM Almas.
Right.
Because you have to get CM Almas something to do. The guy is barely on TV. Or if not, have him eliminate Shinsuke and then fucking Shane and Shinsuke fight for the U.S. belt at WrestleMania. Do something with these wrestlers.
Well, I think they're going to take off the title from Shinsuke at I can see them taking it off at TLC. He's going to be facing Rusev.
Rusev.
I'm sure. Yeah, babyface Rusev. I mean, I can see that title coming off of Shinsuke at TLC.
Even Rusev's babyface run is lame. Even his run is lame.
You know what? I didn't want to get into Rusev today, but you know what? Let's talk about Rusev. You think his babyface run is already lame? He barely cut a promo.
He did cut a babyface promo backstage, and it was fucking awful.
I didn't care for it myself. Awful. People were raving about it, though.
Waving. I don't know why they were raving about it. Those people are in denial. That promo was shit.
Yeah, I didn't care for
Rusev.
It either. I didn't see what the buzz was about.
Rusev
I would have fast forward through that segment, but I happened to read a little bit before I watched it, and I was reading that he cut a babyface promo, and the comments on it were like, "Come on, man!" And so I checked it out for myself, and I didn't see the greatness that everybody was making him out to be on the comments that I saw.
It made him look stupid. It made him look like a hungry, stupid giant because he was talking about food.
Yeah. I thought he was going to lead that into a commercial. You know how they've been doing a lot of commercials lately on the air. I really thought he was headed towards that he was using that promo as a segue for some type of commercial. I was expecting him to pop up a box of Church's Fried Chicken or some shit, but he didn't. The only thing that I took away from that promo was that Lana was looking very hot with that new tan that she has. Did you happen to notice that?
Yeah, but Lana didn't say a single fucking word either. What's going on with her?
I think they came to the conclusion that she's just not good in the ring. She's not good in the ring. She's only there as a mouthpiece, but he can do his own talking. So really, she's just there for eye candy at this point.
Yeah.
That's really what she's there for, man. So, Daniel Bryan. Let's get back to Daniel Bryan real quick. I'm really enjoying this new character. I can't wait to see where it goes. It's one of the most interesting things going on right now. Probably the most interesting thing that's going on right now in all of WWE television is this Daniel Bryan sudden heel turn. So, I'm really enjoying that, and I can't wait to see. I just hope they don't fuck it up, man. I just hope they don't find a way to fuck it up somehow.
No, we'll this one's doing better than Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, you're right about that. You're right about that. Well, I'll tell you what, my brother, let's go ahead and take another break. And when we get back, we're going to have a little free-for-all. Maybe you can prepare a news segment, and then we'll wrap it up. How about that?
All right, man.
All right, well, we will be right back after these words on Fatal 4-Way Radio.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S, yes. Diamonds on my neck. Yes, I'm fabulous. They keep hating on me, I don't sweat. Don't got time for this, cause I'm fabulous.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Souvenir Snow Globe Maker.
Mr. Souvenir Snow Globe Maker.
Scoffing at Mother Nature, you bring snowy wonderment to miniature Mauis, tiny Tampas, and itty-bitty Bahamas.
It's a small, small world.
Sure, Rome wasn't built in a day. But mini snow globe Rome was. Today's forecast for mini Rio de Janeiro. Massive flooding, followed by snow.
Can't stop it now.
So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, champion of the tchotchke, because you make everyone's world a little smaller and a whole lot snowier. Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Fatal Four-Way Radio right here on the World Generation Podcast Network, Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, here with Christian today. Batman is out trying to save the world right now, and perhaps he can make it to Radio Renegade Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Christian, give us a brief rundown. What do you have on the show this week, man?
Well, this week we're going to have some what-if scenarios, a lot of good stuff, surprise, surprises. We have the worst promo, which is Roman Reigns' tater tots. Boy,
get ready
for that. That's all in Radio Renegade this Saturday at 8 p.m. Pacific Eastern.
Yeah. Join us for that right here on the World Generation Podcast Network. So let's get a... tell you what, why don't we do maybe some news if I can cue it up. Can I cue that up? Maybe, perhaps. This is the key, Christian. I got to keep talking while I get the news cue. But I think we're right here, coming right up on it, man. So we have a news with Christian.
And now, Christian from Philly with the news.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, earlier today we were discussing about empty seats. Well, this is part of the news. The news of circulating a particular photo of empty seats on last Monday's Monday Night Raw in Houston, Texas. By God, this is fucking pathetic, Minister. What are your thoughts when you saw the photo?
Oh, man. When I saw I saw more than one photo, man, and they were pretty much all the same. My first initial thought was this has to be from early on, before it started, you know, because when you go to one of these shows, they start at 6:30, and that's Central Time, you know, and then, of course, Raw doesn't go on until, I'm sorry, they start earlier than that. They start at, like, 6 Central Time, and Raw goes on, like, an hour later or what have you.
Yeah.
They go on the air about an hour, so they have, an hour full of filler, maybe 30 or 45 minutes. I don't remember. But anyway, so, you know, it takes time for people to get in their seats. I was thinking, well, maybe it's one of those shots. But, you know, no, man. It was in the middle of Raw. They were showing the women up there. They were just empty seats in the pictures that I saw. Raw was already on the air, and they were some empty-ass seats. And, I mean, the women are standing there looking. One of the pictures I saw, the women are standing around there looking like, one of them was like, holy crap, man, it's dead up in here. Of course, the other side, they sell it out. They sell it out first, and that's primarily, man, I'm telling you, man, I've been through quite a bit of Raws here at the Toyota Center, and they always sell out that one side first, okay? But it's never been, and they always tarp off the very top part, the 400 section is the top part of the arena. They always tarp that off, like, when it starts circling around. When it starts circling around at the end of the arena, okay, opposite of the stage. So they start tarping off the top, okay, and they typically go all the way around from there. So they only sell the 100 and 200 and, of course, the 300, which is the club area.
Yeah.
And, man, the seats are never that empty, dude. I've been there many times. I like to sit on the side that was empty, okay? That's the side where I sit. The seats are never that empty. So it was a shocker to see that picture of the Toyota Center being that empty, but it wasn't a shocker because of how bad the shows have been. Dude, the shows have been bad, man. And then it was said that Vince McMahon rewrote both shows. He wrote both of those shows, this show and the show last week. And they were both, everybody went off on these shows. So, yeah, man, you get what you deserve in this situation. And
why?
I mean, shit, man, you put together bad shows like that, you're going to get bad audience.
Why is he starting to write these shows now?
We're starting to what now?
Why is he starting to write these shows now? Like,
what I saw
why?
Was that he rewrote the show because he wanted a more he wanted a warm feel to it. This current show, I don't know why he redid the previous Monday show, but this week he rewrote it because of the George Bush death, and he wanted to make it a warm feeling show and stuff. But it was a crap show, man. I mean, he should have stopped after they rang the bell at the beginning of the show. That's where he should have stopped. The whole Lucha House Party thing freaking sucked. Everything sucked. These guys are heels acting like baby faces. You've said that many times, and it's so annoying to see some shit like that. If you're going to be a heel, be a
Whoever the fuck gave the idea for Dean Ambrose to have Siren in his fucking theme song should be fucking fired.
Oh, God. What else do we
We have the Roman Reigns is returning to WWE TV, probably for a tribute to the troops.
Yeah, I can see that happening. I can see that happening. Definitely. I don't know what role he would play. Probably a promo.
Probably
the guy
special,
that sent people home happy.
I just see him doing a special guest referee for Seth Rollins versus Dean Ambrose for the IC belt.
Ah, interesting. Do they ever have championship matches on Tribute for the Troops?
I think so, yeah.
Why not,
That
would be good. I would be cool with that. I mean, he could don a zebra shirt for one night. I would be cool with that.
Yeah.
He probably, you know, would like the paycheck, too.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? The Revival sent a tweet to the Young Bucks, you know, from New Japan Pro Wrestling, teasing that they want to fight the Young Bucks, which means, you know, the Revival are sick and tired of WWE, and they want to quit.
Wow. Where are these guys from, man? Are they two guys that paired up in WWE, or were they already together and they joined WWE?
All right, so here's the history, right? The Young Bucks started off in WWE first, but then they didn't make it. Then they went to TNA, known as Generation Me. They didn't make it there either. Then they went to Japan for independence, and there they made it. So that's their history. They first went to WWE, then TNA, and now New Japan.
All right, but what about the Revival?
The Revival are fucking fed up. They're frustrated, and they want to leave. I think they did this on purpose just to get fired, and I don't blame them.
Wow. Okay, but what I wanted to ask you about the Revival was, did they hook up in WWE, or were they already a team before they got to WWE? Did they come together?
I think they were in the independent scene for a little bit, but then they debuted in NXT, and the rest is history.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the guys don't really care for these guys. The rest of the guys on our shows, but I like them. I think at this point, they would be better off if they left WWE because they're just gonna get shit on, that like they have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like what the fuck. Why bother bringing these wrestlers if you have nothing for them to do?
It's crazy, isn't it? I mean, they have guys sitting in the back every week that they don't even use. You know?
Yeah.
But yet they just have them there. I mean, shit. When was the last time we saw B-Team?
When they lost their belts. No, wait. Survivor Series.
And, okay, yeah, that was when we last saw them. And then we saw them, that was prior to, we saw them also in that segment where they were making all the urine jokes.
Yeah.
The AOPP and shit. And speaking of the B-Team, I'd like to pass condolences to the family, the Hennig family, former AWA star Larry the Axe Hennig. passed away at the age of 82. So our
condolences. They won't make a tribute show out of him, though. They won't make a tribute show out of him, though. Maybe. No.
Yeah, he was AWA. He was a five-time AWA tag team champion. And, of course, the father of the late Mr. Perfect. And grandfather to current WWE star Curtis Axel. So, Larry the Axe Hennig, rest in peace. Of course, WWE released a statement on it. Though his own career was cut short due to injury, Hennig's legacy spanned another two generations thanks to his son, the late WWE Hall of Famer Mr. Perfect, and grandson, former Intercontinental Champion Curtis Axel. WWE extends its condolences to the Hennigs family, friends, and fans.
If they really do send condolences, how about put Curtis Axel over?
At least once, right? Holy crap.
Yeah, but they won't. What's up
to that guy?
I don't know. Jobber status?
That's it. I mean, that's it. They have tarnished these guys, and that's the problem with WWE.
Yeah.
They tarnished these. They beat down a flogged horse, man. They just beat down a dead horse. They just continue to do it, man. And then they come to a time, you know, okay, so they're going to bring back Bray Wyatt. Woohoo. They're just going to bring him back, and all of a sudden he's going to be beating everybody? No.
No.
It's going to be terrible if they do that. If they bring him back in some kind of badass where he's running over everybody and wins at pay-per-views all of a sudden, you know, it's going to be clearly just because people are hurt right now. They don't mean it.
Yeah. And plus, he's probably just going to return as a face for like a few months and then turn heel right back anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what they do with these guys, but that's definitely not right.
One last thing before, this is not newsworthy because I am done with the news, but I'm pissed off that WWE keeps using cancer as a storyline, even though they're donating money to cure cancer. How does that make sense?
Makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. And I know they got a lot of heat for that, but yet they continue to do it.
Yeah, like, you're making fun of the kids that you're trying to give money to cure the cancer, but you're using Roman Reigns' real-life illness for fucking storyline. Are you fucking messed up in the head? That's fucked up.
Who does that shit, right?
Yeah.
It's very fucked up, man. It's very fucked up. But go ahead, and I'll tell you what, man. Thank you very much for joining us today. And also thank you to Joe Bates, who was with us as well for a little while. And Batman. Hopefully he can join us again next week. So close yourself out, bro.
All right, everybody. Tune in Saturdays at 8 p.m. for Radio Renegades. Hopefully Batman will show up after, you know, he's done fighting crime and actually take a break to join us once in a while. But, you know, duty calls, whatnot. But anyway, join us on Saturdays. This has been Fatal 4A Radio. Tune in next week for the show again this Thursday. And listen to our archives of our old shows and recordings from World Generation Podcast Network, where we have all the episodes available online for free. You don't have to charge. It's for free.
That's right.
So see you later, guys. See you on Saturday. Have fun. God bless. And have a safe night.
And, of course, that was Christian, ladies and gentlemen, from Philly. Thank you for joining us. I think Christian has said it all. I am Internet Radio's own Minister of Sinister, signing off for this week's episode of Fatal 4-Way Radio, reminding you to keep it real, keep it heel, and as always, keep it sexy. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time right here on Fatal 4-Way Radio on the World Generation Podcast Network. See you next week.